In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Will Matt Eberflus's seat get colder when the league says, oh yeah, you won that game?
You know, so we'll turn it in and see what the league says.
I could just imagine, you know, somebody walking into the officiating meeting.
Oh, look.
And like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Did you see the way that they...
We're going to award the Bears the win. Okay. Yeah, you go. You go, go.
Did you see what they did to Scott Daly? Poor Scott Daly.
They were on our long snapper, making direct contact with it right away. And we'll turn that in as well.
We're going to say that the Bears still lost the game because we can't change it. But we're going to encourage the Bears to give their head coach a contract extension.
Well,
breaking Bears news.
Eberflus gets extension over blown Daily call.
That's a joke.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
It's always the yin and the yang.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I don't think that was intended to be mean to Matt Eberflus. I think there was just nothing you can do about it, and it really, after the fact, it went on for a couple of days, and it was a little tiresome, that's all.
I get it, Mully. Good morning. It's Thursday. It's The next football week begins tonight, so that's moving ahead, not looking back. What's the game tonight, the Steelers-Browns?
It's the Harbaugh, isn't it? The Harbaugh?
No, that's Monday night. That's Monday night football. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We can talk about
the Harbaughs till Monday night. Yeah.
I heard an ad about the Manning cast. I got all excited.
Oh, gosh.
And I suddenly thought that was tonight.
Well, Peyton Manning's been busy because he was at the CMAs last night, Country Music Awards, hosting alongside Luke Bryan. Yes. He was busy. That was quite a game. It wasn't quite a game for the Bulls, so I watched a lot of the CMAs because
really?
It was, yes.
That's funny.
It was more entertaining.
I watched about a minute of it.
Is Peyton Manning, I feel like he's been hosting the past like 3 years.
Yeah, he has been.
Those guys, do they do?
But he talks like a country star.
They can't find nobody else?
Don't they do the commercial together?
Yeah, Luke Bryan, they have a Netflix series or something like that, behind the scenes documentary coming out. One song. They're looking at the stories behind one song. Peyton Manning, he sounds like country, doesn't he?
But, like, what, 2-3 years in a row they can't find nobody else? There's nobody else that's funny that they can find for the Country Music Awards?
No one is well known.
I feel like Brandon's mocking the whole CMA thing.
No, I'm not.
It was an entertaining night.
Yeah.
An ode to George Strait.
Brandon has, a deep-rooted background
in
country music.
That's why I'm disappointed.
But he probably watched it so he can make fun of it, right?
I mean, I had to watch it because watching the Bulls is something you don't want to watch.
Thank you.
That was a really bad. I don't know why it would matter that Patrick Williams wasn't out there.
It mattered because nobody else can guard Giannis. Nobody else matches up.
Well, nobody can guard Giannis.
It exposes a little bit of a flaw in the roster.
Yeah.
You don't have any athletic big guys like that can even try to get in the way. So their series and luck against the Bucks is like a sad country song.
I got drunk the day my mom got out of prison.
So yeah, I watched the Bulls a little bit, flip back and forth though, because I enjoy, you know, the Country Music Awards, and it was fun. It was good. But the Bulls were not. They were not good, and that was ugly look away type basketball. Now they have a day off before they get back to the NBA Cup.
Yeah, well, the NBA Cup, we're going to see, if for no other reason, we'll see an incredibly ugly red floor on Friday.
Tomorrow night, correct?
Yeah, when the Hawks come in. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they would take their red floor on the road with them to Atlanta. But no, they're playing them here. And didn't they just get blown out too yesterday? Didn't they have a bad loss? I think maybe the Warriors beat up on them. Either way, it is a couple of teams that the Bulls are just not playing well. They had been allowing a ton of points, and everyone was like, oh, look at the Bulls. They had a really good game. They played Detroit. Detroit can't score 140 points, and I think maybe we were deluded into thinking that there had been some answer. They got fired up.
Well, we might have been deluded, but they did hit 50% of their threes, and when they do that, it's exciting to watch.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, but I also am just fed up with the Bulls. I don't know.
Tonight you are. If they come out and they score 140 and beat the Hawks at home, you're going to be like, that team's fun to watch.
And I will be camped out in front of it. Don't get me wrong.
This is the team. This is the way the season's going to go until they pick a lane.
Yeah.
It's going to be good night, bad night. Good night, bad night.
Yeah. Just feels like.
3-point misses, 3-point makes.
It just feels a little frustrating.
Well,
Williams, you thought he had the surgery on that foot. Isn't that okay? And then. It was like, oh, there's something going on, and then KC told me, oh, no, it's okay.
We'll get to that because that's troubling, especially given the contract he signed.
Exactly.
Especially given the chronic nature of the injury.
Exactly.
So and now you start to think,
He wasn't even in Milwaukee. He was home getting an MRI.
Yep. The imaging took place in Chicago. He didn't make the trip north.
No.
And so I think that's a concern moving forward,
but
definitely.
If you can't drive to Milwaukee – I'd say it's a problem.
Well, he might have been avoided the snow that's coming.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard, but it's supposed to snow today.
There was 2 feet of snow when I got up.
Two feet? I thought, 18 inches at least.
I was told there was supposed to be.
Blizzard watch.
My wife, kind woman that she is, said, watch out on the back porch when you leave. It's supposed to be bad in the morning.
I don't know.
And it wasn't.
If it was, okay. I got here a few minutes later than you did, but not because of the snow. There is none yet.
Yeah, there was no snow. Okay. There was a little frost, maybe.
Is it coming, though? Do you think it's coming?
I saw a couple of cars on the streets that had
You think it's going to be real this time?
I have no faith in the weather system.
November. I had to scrape my window, David.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, there was, I mean,
yeah, there was
wasn't
frost.
No, I had to scrape my window.
Because it was cold?
Because there was snow on my window that froze because it was cold.
All right.
There is a guy that, as I'm driving...
I'm glad you made it here safely.
I always see this guy on his bike.
You're the one.
In the morning, he's riding his bike to work. And I always wonder, like, how long will that go? Because it's just kind of a curious thing. He, like, had a parka on. And his face, like, was totally covered. And
Winter is here, I think.
It
feels
cold
like
outside.
Yesterday, with the wind whipping, it was definitely the arrival of colder temperatures.
Hey, baby. It's cold outside.
Hey, baby, it is cold outside. So bundle up, get ready for the snow. Give yourself a few extra minutes to scrape your windows the way Dustin did and get where you need to be safely the way Dustin did.
Yeah. Dustin.
But
Dustin's a lovely man.
It's late November in Chicago. What do you expect?
He has a garage, but he leaves that for the family. No, well, I'm being honest.
It calluses you.
Yeah.
Gets you ready for the day.
He is a tough guy.
Yeah. You're tougher when you have to scrape your windows.
I've always said that.
And battle the elements.
With my building ID card, no less.
Is that what you use?
Well, that's just your fault.
Yeah.
That means you're unprepared.
Yeah.
That means you're unprepared for winter.
That means you've run out of credit.
You used your ID card just to scrape your window rather than a regular regulation scraper. True.
Correct.
Shouldn't you have one of those in the booth?
I didn't put it in the car yet.
Oh, my gosh.
It was 60 the other day.
But you have to look ahead.
I got to tell you, like, I had to open up the trunk yesterday to put some stuff in it. And that's like the first time I've opened up the trunk since the last time.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time if I'm buying groceries, so I just put it in the back seat. It doesn't occur to me to really open my trunk.
Should use your trunk more.
I may have like a body back there for all I know.
And what did you find back there?
Nothing. I don't have anything in my trunk, really.
Dustin's a disappointment because I thought
Do either of you have a scraper in your trunk right now?
I have a scraper in my trunk.
Yes.
Of course.
Anticipated
your car. And both your cars are in the garage.
Yeah, it's true.
And in the garage now.
I go from garage to garage.
Doesn't mean you have to park outside.
Yeah.
But just in case you get stuck outside, like tonight, if I get stuck outside at the United Center.
There you go.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
So can I borrow one of yours?
Cars?
I know that's not going to happen. It's scrapers, David. Scrapers.
I'm not giving you my keys, man. You don't even scrape your windows. You think I'm going to trust you to drive my car? No.
How long does it take, like, the windows to defrost? Can't you just start the car and defrost?
Yeah, I don't like doing that.
I'm just asking.
Not at our hour. Okay. Like you can't like.
It's true.
You can't like. Oh, I'll start the car. I'll go back in, putz around a little bit. You know, maybe you know, feed the cat, whatever. Like, no, like you got to go. Like every minute is accounted for. From like the time that. My alarm goes off to the time we hit the mic on,
I hear
every
you.
Second is accounted for.
I had a buddy who was a real gearhead, right? And he like in the early days, this is before like the
gearhead, like race car fan?
No, like a guy who loved cars.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So we were down at the Billy Goat. He had come down to the Billy Goat and he was parked outside and he like we were getting ready to leave and he turned his car on to warm up his car. And he's like, it's running right now. The windows will defrost. And I'm like, your car is outside this place in the street in Chicago running? Shouldn't you be worried about someone driving off in the thing if you just lit?
That always concerns me.
They're running? And yeah. He literally was like, jumped up and ran out to turn.
Well, that would concern me. These automatic ignitions,
crazy.
I don't ever take advantage of it because of what you just said.
Yeah, of course.
You think you're going to get carjacked
without being there.
I'll
just start the car.
Actually, what? You're doing it's like you're saving them a step.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't have to hotwire this baby.
I could steal your car more efficiently. Thank
and
you.
And in those days, you used to be able to get into a car with a hanger. You remember those days?
Yeah, well, I never did steal as many cars as you, but yeah, I remember seeing that.
I often had to get into the car with a hanger. I just had bad cars. And I was bad with keys.
I just use my coat hangers as TV antennas. That's all. And I can watch the Blackhawks.
There you go. That's all you need.
We're back home tonight. Hawks and Panthers. Connor Bedard tries to break the goalless streak at 10.
Wow.
Hopefully he's going
to
be.
I'm worried about it getting to 11 because the trend is your friend.
I am worried about it.
Shelley told us he went 50 games one time.
40. It was 40.
40.
And it was
so is Connor,
he was a defenseman though.
Connor just getting going?
I hope not.
I hope not.
I hope
too.
He gets back at center eventually. Right. I hope he starts to get back in rhythm. He's playing very good hockey. He's just not scoring goals.
Yeah.
So tonight they got a tough challenge. Defending Stanley Cup champs in town. Gonna be a great night at the United Center. Let's hope he scores.
Yeah, I like them a lot more when he scores.
Could be very difficult on that red ice.
Yeah. It's not red.
Oh, that's tomorrow night.
It leaked through from the Bulls floor. There was a horrible rainstorm.
That would be really ugly.
Wouldn't that be the worst?
The red ice.
What would you do?
Man.
Red ice. That's that just sounds like there's been like a series of disasters on the floor.
Like a bad horror movie.
Exactly. There you go.
Speaking of horror movies, Hallis Hall yesterday was an active place.
You felt it was a horror movie?
I feel like the season has gone in that direction.
I knew, and I told you yesterday, that injury list is much-watched television.
Yeah.
And the minute that came out, I think one of our questions was kind of, who will be the surprise guest star on the injury list mm-hmm. this week? And it turns out it's DeAndre Swift.
Didn't see that one coming.
He had a nice touchdown run. You know, aided by a wonderful block from Braxton Jones. Go watch that block. That was phenomenal.
Maybe hitting his stride pulled a muscle or something. He was sore. You know, it's amazing, though, to me, when we hear Matt Eberflus explain it, that running backs aren't on the injury list every Wednesday.
Yes.
Because of just the toll it takes to run the football in the NFL.
Just look at the way they pay him these days. Nobody wants to give the running back the money they have come in because they get hit so much and their careers are so shortened by that.
It's a brutal job.
It's a brutal job.
And so it's amazing he's not been on the injury list before or missed much time, but he did, I guess, sound like he woke up a little sore. Oh, boy, the groin hurts. And
he strained a groin.
Doesn't need to practice.
So they're giving him a couple days off.
As they should.
Yeah, but when they tell you that he's not practicing today, but don't worry because he's not practicing tomorrow either. It's all about day to day, get to the end of the week.
Maintenance.
Here's the problem. Against this team in particular, as our guy Bigsy wrote, you really do need to run the football, and they are the best in the league at stopping the run.
74 yards per game, 3.6 yards per carry, and they will smother you. And they'll stop you running the ball and make you one-dimensional. That's when Brian Flores does his best work. But I also think that You got to try to run the football.
Oh, you got to run the football. Always.
You can't abandon hope.
And if you thought that the Bears were better last week with the change of coordinator, part of that was they ran the football.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a lot of yards out of the
34 runs.
Yeah.
36 minutes time of possession.
That's pretty good.
That's how you know you're making some progress. I also think DeAndre Swift, in fairness, he got really criticized and
early.
The first couple games of the year was not hitting it. You look at his numbers now, he's averaging 4.1 yards per carry.
Well. He's turning
so
well.
He has really been the guy they thought he would be. And
I think he's better in space than he is. Kind
no
of,
doubt about it.
Yeah.
But he gives you that explosive element, too.
I agree.
He broke that one for 49 yards the other day. I was like, okay, where'd that come from? Nice.
He's done that a couple times.
Yeah.
Did a couple long runs this year. And, I mean, the good news is that you're covered at the position because – you obviously have Roschon Johnson and Khalil Herbert.
No, he's gone. But you know what?
Travis Homer. I was just making
We're not going to have any sort of, like, sympathy because Khalil Herbert.
We're not having sympathy for Khalil?
I'm glad he has an opportunity in Cincinnati, but.
You're glad he's gone.
I'm not glad he's gone, but it's not like you have missed him too much, have you?
Well, because you've been healthy at running back.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're maybe not healthy. I don't know. We'll find out. Also, Elijah Hicks, as expected, not able to practice.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's no Gouda.
That's no good because Jonathan Owens may get a look. They signed Adrian Colbert, made that official, the Hard Knocks breakout star. They also signed
shed a tear.
Colin Johnson to the active roster. Did not really expect that.
That was wild, huh? What's going on there?
What's the latest with Tyler Scott? Is he injured?
Little Scott.
I didn't see anything about Little Scott, but you haven't seen him in action.
He didn't play much.
DeAndre Carter gets a lot of the
Dustin, how many catches action? Does Little Scott have?
Little Scott doesn't have any catches, does he?
For the year?
I can't remember the last time we've seen him, but we'll look into it.
I can't remember the last time he made an impact. So maybe they're looking for something in
no
the red
catches
zone.
This year.
No catches.
Nothing.
Catches.
But he graduated.
Could that be the reason that they signed another receiver?
Maybe, but a different type of receiver. Little Scott's little. That's why we call him Little Scott. He's kind of shifty.
Are you anticipating
he's a speed guy.
Hall of Fame game bump?
Colin Johnson needs that kind of output in the red zone. But now you have one other receiver that Caleb Williams can refer to as my guy, who isn't DJ Moore.
Weren't things a lot happier when we were at the Hall of Fame?
They were so happy
that
there.
That seemed like it
that,
was, a,
that was
very,
a great trip.
That was a wonderful trip.
Great
and
trip.
A really great time of the season. And we all enjoyed ourselves, right?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
That was awesome. Even Colin Johnson. But that's the last time I think we heard from him. He's been up and down a couple times on the active roster. Now he's got another chance to give them something in the red zone they lack. But that's... The problem isn't at receiver. They can't decide who the number one receiver is. Targets keep going to Roma Dunze, and that connection chemistry is good between him and the quarterback.
And catches keep going to DJ Moore. He caught 7 of 7 targets. I believe Rome had 6 of 10 targets.
I know that what you're implying is that the efficiency is greater with DJ Moore. I'd like to see him more effective down the field.
I'm not implying. I've been saying I'd love to see. I asked DJ, hey, are you ever going to get the ball down the field? What happened to that play?
7 of 7 targets isn't as impressive as it sounds when you consider the length of those throws.
Yeah, some of them are just
glorified handoffs.
But for whatever reason, the change of coordinator, whatever it was, those screen passes to him actually worked. And they had not been working, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting the ball, as you say, on the line of scrimmage or just off it. And that was pretty much where that would end. And all of a sudden, he was running with the ball, even though he got it behind the line of scrimmage.
Texas are giving us all sorts of advice on how to handle the automatic ignition on our cars. And you realize that the doors do lock. Yes, but still, your car is started. You're bringing attention to the fact that your car is started.
I don't know where you grew up.
They have our back.
If I had my car started out in front of the house, someone would drive off with it.
Well, where I grew up, if you had your car started outside of the house, one of your neighbors may come across and scrape your window for you.
one of your neighbors might come over and fill it up with their jar of gas.
Yes, I think they might. I grew up in a very friendly neighborhood, friendly small town. We didn't even lock our doors half the time.
We have a texter checking in. I think Flucy's car is running. He just leaves it on overnight.
Oh.
Casey needs a quick getaway.
His battery's dead.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
I gotcha.
It's going nowhere. Yeah. Unfortunately.
It feels that way.
It
does
and
feel that way.
He seemed a little down yesterday, I felt. I felt like he seemed a little bit downtrodden, like starting to take his toll. Not that we, you know, we talk about body language all the time, but I think Matt Eberflus, I could understand. It's been a tough week. It's been a tough stretch. He seemed like a guy yesterday where it was starting to show the wear and tear a little bit.
He came into work yesterday. He came walking in up, you know, I'm ready to go. We're going to attack the week. And there was George and Kevin and Ryan, and they just looked at him. And he was like, hi, guys. And they looked at him. Maybe that's what happened.
I don't think it would be that overt. Did you hear something? Has that been reported anywhere?
I just love that idea. Oh, you know.
Or they get
in the work.
Or maybe it's in the break room.
I went in and everyone gave me a dirty look.
Or maybe Flus is in the break room having a cup of coffee, sitting at a table, and all three of those guys walked in and sat at the other table.
All three of those guys
like the lunch room.
They all walked in together talking, having a joke. They froze. Then they turned around and went back elsewhere. They went out to Starbucks.
The feeling you get when you walk into a room, you know, everybody was talking about you, but nobody wants you to know it.
Yeah.
But you know it. That's what Flus felt like yesterday. It sounded like that. It seemed like it was a little bit.
A little down.
Maybe so.
He needs a win.
Needs a win in the worst way.
He needs a win.
It's an opportunity for the Bears. The Vikings.
He needs to block a field goal in the last play of the game himself. I think that's what he needs. He needs a win in the worst way.
Well, that would do
that
it.
That was the worst way.
That was the worst.
That loss was the worst way.
Yeah, still talking about that thing. And
we got to get over it.
You got to move ahead. Got to
do that.
Look ahead. You got to look ahead. Got to move on.
Yeah.
And you know, it doesn't get any easier though, because this is the last beatable opponent for a while. Because after this one, when you look ahead at the Bears schedule, Thanksgiving Day at Detroit. Then you have the mini bye because you have that week off, but then you go to San Francisco to play Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers, who might be reeling at that time. I love these rumors coming out of San Francisco.
Oh, I know. So
I love the baseless speculation that Kyle Shanahan is going to get fired. May that continue.
Like I said, he'll have a job in the, you know, whatever.
Don't say a job.
Oh, he'll
say
have
this job.
He'll have a pick of jobs.
Okay.
In about 5 minutes. I mean, there'll be literally.
Would he pick this one hypothetically? Play along.
Because he came to visit his grandparents here or something. Is that it?
No.
Because
Caleb Williams is here. Because it's Chicago.
Because the old man's defunct high school means a ton to him. Didn't he go to Weber? Isn't that closed?
No, I don't think he went to. Did he?
I think Coach K went to Weber.
Coach K went to Weber.
Oh, Coach K went to Weber.
Yeah,
I believe that.
What high school?
Leiden.
Oh, he went to, and then he went to Eastern.
I believe so.
Yeah, okay. Mike Shanahan's an Eastern Illinois guy.
Yeah. I was confusing my
cradle of coaches.
Yeah, my great coaches from Chicago. Franklin Park is
where Mike Shanahan.
So were his folks living there? I mean, did the kid spend a lot of time? I
don't know. It'd be a great question to explore if he ever gets fired.
Yeah.
If he could only get fired.
Well, we probably should know that before he gets fired so we can make the pitch. You don't want to go with making a pitch and find out that.
Hey, stud, you want to coach the Bears back in Franklin Park area?
Hey, stud.
Can take him over to Gene and Jude's for the best hot dog around right down the street.
You know.
There you go.
He'd be a great hire. He's a great coach. That's the kind of big bold move Bears need to make.
Then they could trade Caleb Williams.
Stop it.
Because he doesn't need a quarterback.
Stop it.
He'll just create one. He can get Trey Lance back. No.
We're hearing from the coordinators today, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's always fun to hear from the coordinators. Seriously. I'm very happy.
Well, I think Richard Hightower is gonna have a lot to answer to.
Yeah, you've got some explaining to do.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Please put him in a tough spot.
Okay, off the top of your head, you mentioned the game. The Thursday night game tonight is Steelers at Browns.
Yes.
So.
Oh, Steelers.
By a mile?
By a mile.
Mike Tomlin has never won a road divisional Thursday night football game. 0-7 all time and 0-5 with Mike Tomlin. The Pittsburgh Steelers have never won a divisional road football game on Thursday night.
I had a hard time processing that nugget.
I mean, that seems like it must be.
It had to be a misprint.
That's what it looks like.
It's the first negative stat I've heard associated with Mike Tomlin.
He can't like win that. On the road on Thursday night.
Didn't realize that.
Never won a road divisional Thursday night football game. I don't even know how you keep track of that, but that's insane if it's happened that often.
It is. I don't think that.
There's no way they lose that game tonight.
I don't think they lose tonight. No. How are the numbers against teams quarterbacked by Jameis Winston?
They must be better than that. He's 2-8 all time on Thursday night football, but 0-5 on the road.
He's got to win. The standard is the standard.
In the division. Standard is the standard. You love that stuff. All right. Maybe this will be his third straight win. I don't know. I haven't really looked at it. Maybe he's now mastered the Thursday night thing along with everything else. You see a statistic and it just boggles the mind. And then you look into it, and it's not as bad as you
Let's
think.
Get to a break. I got to go turn my car off.
All right. Well, David will turn his car off. We will be back with the pick six. It's Mully and Haw on the score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Were you deflated to learn that running back DeAndre Swift was the surprise addition to the Bears' injury list on Wednesday with a groin injury? Matt Eberflus expressed optimism Swift could be available Sunday's game, provided he gets a couple of days off. Safety Elijah Hicks also out with an ankle, as expected. And Tevin Jenkins was limited. He also dealing with an ankle injury.
Yeah, it's good that Jenkins was back in a limited fashion, so that's the good news of it. But you're going to need DeAndre Swift. I mean, it's all hands on deck in these division games, as simple as that. And you hope that it is sort of wear and tear and stuff that a couple days off will help. I straining a groin muscle, not good for a guy who's a quick twitch athlete and needs kind of to be a part of explosive plays. And he's had some explosive plays, so I hope he is up and running and ready to go. But I don't know that he needs to practice at all this week, frankly. I mean, I don't think that's a great way to prepare yourself for a game. You need to be taking all those mental reps and understanding the game plan and all that. But for a running back, I think you're okay if he doesn't practice, provided he can play on Sunday. And the Elijah Hicks thing is a little bit scary. You when you're getting into third string players, you've got to be aware of that, and you've got to be cautious about it, and you've got to sort of game plan around that yourself. You got to make sure you're not putting people in a position where they can't succeed. So, never good news from the injury report at this time of year. But, you do feel deflated when you see a guy added to it that you didn't know was hurt.
The Bears aren't very good, and the Bears will be worse without DeAndre Swift. And the word deflated, I know this isn't the question, but since the word is in there, you sounded deflated yesterday. It was Matt Eberflus. Now, I don't want him to be up there kicking his heels or puffy chested or anything like that, but he just seemed like down and out and run down yesterday up at the podium.
He probably watched the tape of the Vikings.
And that's going to seep in. Like that can't be good when he stands in front of those 60 guys up at Halas Hall.
That's what I'm talking about. The power of positivity. You know, that's part of the job. You know, to project. But I don't disagree with that. Yesterday I was a little disappointed at him being deflated. I don't think that's the right tone to set. But nonetheless, the injury report, yeah, Elijah Hicks, a little bit of a concern. That's going to be a big job stopping Justin Jefferson and those weapons. Tevin Jenkins, yeah, he may start, but will he finish? DeAndre Swift is the big one. He doesn't need to practice. He's a pro at 10 games into a season where he's having a pretty good year. He has, after a slow start, represented himself quite well, averaging 4.1 yards per carry, going against the toughest run defense in the league statistically. And they want to swallow you up and smother you so they can come after you with the zero blitz, the king of the zero blitz. So that all starts with stopping the run. They give up 74 yards per game. So if you don't have DeAndre Swift at full strength, you are limited and you are one-dimensional. So he needs to get back on the field. They need to find ways to isolate him in space because he's the guy that can make people miss, and he's the guy that gives you that explosiveness you lack. So this was a big addition to the injury report and a reminder why Molly likes to see it and waits with bated breath every Wednesday.
Yeah, it's a good question.
How about the Bears QB Caleb Williams calling Vikings DC Brian Flores, quote, the king of the cover zero blitz, end quote, and that the Bears will have to be ready for the pressure that will be coming. What's the key?
Us being decisive, us having a plan for all of that. And then from there, get the ball to your playmakers, run the ball well and efficiently. And from there, when they give you shots and give you explosive plays, you make those plays.
All right, so can Caleb Williams and this offense beat the king of the cover zero blitz?
Don't be afraid to throw the ball down the field. Isolate one-on-one matchups because that's what you get when you see the zero blitz, when you see man coverage. Don't be afraid to give your guys a chance to go up and get it. Jordan Love style. That's what happened. He threw into double coverage, and Christian Watson rewarded that once with a 48-yard catch. So that's key. Caleb Williams pretty good against the blitz. His passer rating, 87.2. He's not phased or overwhelmed necessarily. He would benefit him to take a little more risks involved and add more of those kind of down the field throws. It also makes him a more dangerous runner. He's coming off a game where he ran for 70 yards. You don't want to necessarily do this by design, but that could slow a blitz down. First couple times they come at him and they're playing two man behind him or two man deep, then you leave a lot of room on the field for Caleb Williams to gain ground with his legs. So those are the dangers when you blitz as often as the Vikings are going to blitz Caleb Williams. So he's got to keep his poise, look for his keys, read them, and then make them pay.
Yeah, I think this will be another step in the maturation of Caleb Williams as a quarterback in this league. I expect him. I'm curious to see his rushing total. I thought his answer yesterday was very interesting when asked if the new play caller encouraged him to run the ball a little bit more. And he's like, well, no, I got legs. Oh, really? Okay. Thank you for noticing that you have legs.
I thought he was good at the podium.
Yeah, he was fine. He's still a little too. He's on the opposite end of things. He's a little too happy. So somewhere in the middle, him and Matt Eberflus can meet. Never, ever, ever, David. Welcome to the score.
Yeah, I thought he was good yesterday, and I liked the king of the cover zero blitz. That was amusing. It's also true, and he's going to be, you know, they're going to be coming at him from all directions. And, you know, it's what happens with a 3-4 defense. And, you know, Brian Flores is a hell of a coordinator, but I think that it's the old Bill Parcells line, one or two interceptions only one or two. That's what you got to tell them. Do not be afraid to take a shot. Do not be afraid to take a chance, especially trust your playmakers. You know, you're going to have to throw up a couple and see if they can get them, because you're right. That's what you do when it's mano a mano stuff. And hey, you know, Jordan Love did it very well, frankly. That not just the one into double coverage, that was ridiculous, but the one that the cornerback slipped on. I don't think that would have been an interception. That was a pretty good throw, and you need to make some of those kind of plays. That's how you beat a team, is you get a couple of big plays down the field. It'll be really interesting because you just – you know, what I like about him running, when you talk about him running, is that he kind of has this knack for not getting hit clean. And if he can do that, if he sees something and he knows where they're coming and someone stepped inside, off you go. There's no problem with that at all. But, like, keep yourself out of harm's way. And that means get rid of the ball, and it means don't hold it and wait for someone to get open. It means anticipate things and have some big plays by letting your go up and get it, guys. Go up and get it. Maybe that's why you're going to see another tall receiver added to the mix.
I don't think we want to find out the answer to that question.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. 7 a.m. is Biggs time. White Sox prospect Colson Montgomery said he has envisioned being the everyday shortstop in 2025.
My agency and with the White Sox, we're kind of just getting back into being more of the athlete that I am. You know, played basketball and football, so we're doing a lot of things like that, just trying to get me back to be an athlete. And I'm maturing more, so I'm gaining weight and things like that. So we want to be able to stick at shortstop, because I know I'm a shortstop. Even though I played third in the fall league, that does not mean anything. I was just playing third, anything to help the team win and just get in the lineup, you know. So I'm a shortstop, and that's it.
He's a shortstop, and that's it, according to Colson Montgomery. How realistic is it that he is the everyday shortstop in 2025 over at 35th and Shields?
I got to tell you, you know, what's really interesting is that, like, he kind of, you know, he had a rough go of it in the minor leagues last year, didn't it? You know, his star didn't shine as brightly. He's 22 now. You know, you've been waiting on him, and he was in, like, the top 10 prospects. He's, like, 16 now. I mean, that's still very good. But he has been, others are getting past him a little bit. But you got to say, he played really well in the Arizona Fall League. He really kind of revitalized his career. And when he moved to third base to do so, I thought about our conversation with Ozzy. Ozzy was kind of like, he'd be really good at third base. And kind of, you know, the problem with the tall guys is that, you know, it's great if you can be, you know, Cal Ripken, but there's a lot of guys that can't do that. And I don't know if it's best for the White Sox to have him as a third baseman. But he made it clear, wants to play third base and envisions himself wants to play shortstop and envisions himself as a shortstop. And, you know, if he's got aspirations of doing that this year, that's great. You know, they had to protect him from the Rule 5 draft, and they moved him on to the 40-man, so let's get to it. That's fine by me. This team isn't going anywhere, but, you know, if he has to be the third baseman to start out, then I'd have no problem with that either. I don't know how he'd feel.
Well, I mean, if not now, when? Right? If you're not going to bring this guy up for the start of this season, something for the fans to...
Then you'd be next year.
Yeah, well, I guess, if you want to be literal. Come on. He needs to be every day 35th and Shields playing shortstop.
Yeah, I think that it's time, because you have a young manager, you have a young bench coach, you've got a young general manager, you've got youth everywhere. So having a 22-year-old former first-round draft pick at shortstop for a team that's likely to struggle would not be necessarily getting over your skis, or it's outlandish or crazy to consider. Not that he will ever be Bobby Witt Jr., but he's got to be the White Sox version of him. And in 2022, Bobby Witt Jr., 22 years old, first-round draft pick, started 150 games at shortstop for the 97-loss Kansas City Royals. He hit .254, wasn't overwhelming, had 20 home runs, but that was the start of his ascension. And I think you've got to get experience to find out what you have and to give your guy that you've invested all this hope in a chance to prove himself. Colson Montgomery, I think, is a shortstop. Intriguing possibility of playing third base, but they are stockpiled at third base with prospects. He's got to play shortstop. He wants to play shortstop. Sounds like he's got his swagger and confidence back a little bit. You're right. 3 weeks in the Arizona Fall League can maybe outweigh a Triple-A summer of struggle.
Right.
And that makes no sense. I think that's baseball.
It's young players.
It's young players, exactly. So hopefully This continues into spring training, and he is your opening day starter and plays about 150 games.
I really don't want to answer this question, to be totally honest with you, but I will.
With Chris Sale winning the NL Cy Young for the Braves, Dylan Cease finishing fourth for the Padres, what message should MLB take about White Sox pitchers on the trade market? What message would you like to send to the Sox about trading pitchers? And who should be congratulated about the Cubs? Shota Imanaga, who finished fifth on the NL side for Cy Young.
Let's start there. Congratulations, Shota. He deserves all of the praise because he came through, made the adjustment, and was great. Had a great season. Jed Hoyer, congrats for finding him. Your scouting staff, this is a win. This is a victory. Their record when Shota was on the mound, remarkable. As for the ex-White Sox pitcher factor, I would be in line to get Garrett Crochet on my staff because something happens to pitchers once they leave the White Sox. We don't have Carlos Rodon mentioned, but he's on that list. There are other guys on that list. Starts with Sale. Now, congratulations to him. He gets his Cy Young. Dylan Cease is always going to be in the mix. What a rotation you could put together of ex-White Sox stars. Ronaldo Lopez would be in there somewhere. It's crazy. But Garrett Crochet, yeah, we'd all like to sign him long-term. We all know how unrealistic that is. So in the best interest of the White Sox, they've got to take the best deal. So Chris Getz is open for business. If I'm the Baltimore Orioles, and I follow the Orioles, I'm telling my scouts, I'm telling my fan base that once you get Garrett Crochet in your organization, good things happen. Because look at the examples of past White Sox pitchers who left and flourished.
I understand they probably have to trade him, but don't be in a rush. Don't be in a rush. Get the best offer you possibly can, because right now I think his value is kind of in the middle. We also need to see, you know, talking about the Orioles, David, like, you know, what are they doing in free agency? Are they going to buy? Are they going to buy a top arm, or are they going to trade for a top arm? I guess that is part of it too. Who else is in the mix for the top free agent pitchers? As far as Shota goes, obviously Shota deserves a credit. David, you mentioned a long list, but I'd also like to throw our guy Tommy Hotovy into the mix for his success.
Yeah, Tommy was on my list as well, and Jed and whoever. I don't know. Is Carter Hawkins doing a lot of work with pitching? I really love that signing, and I think that one of the great things about that signing was also the personality of the player, just the way that he kind of embraced everything and jumped into it, and just his whole he's been just fantastic and just so fun to have in town. So congrats to Shota for his personality as much as his pitching, and obviously it's his pitching that gets it done, but don't you feel like his kind of personality allows him to meet the moment a little? Just really a fun guy to be around. Chris Sale winning the Cy Young for Atlanta. Dylan Cease finished fourth. Rodon didn't get a vote, but believe it or not, Ronaldo Lopez got one vote for the Cy Young, and that's nice to see for him.
Man.
And just the season he had. And yeah, I would pursue Sox players, no question about it. I wish they wouldn't trade Garrett Crochet, but they're going to. And you're right, Dustin. They need to get the best deal out there, and they need to keep trying to get a better deal.
Terrific question. Need to get that answer. Don't have it for you today.
That's the voice of Bruce Levine. He's going to talk Cubs and White Sox at 8:25 with Mullion Hahn. What do you make of the Cubs trading for the reliever Eli Morgan, a 28-year-old member of the Guardians bullpen that was the best in the MLB last year, to make room for him on the 40-man roster? The Cubs had to DFA a fan favorite, Patrick Wisdom, whose unlikely rise from a journeyman minor leaguer to a fan favorite was just a terrific story.
That was one of the best stories that we've seen from the Cubs, right? It was like Patrick Wisdom and Schwindy City, and Wisdom was the guy that managed to last a little bit. And it was really fun. And he was a former top prospect, and he finally got more of an opportunity. And he really, you know, the Cubs were bad as a team, but he was really a pretty good player and a pretty fun story. And, I mean, I wonder if there's a team around that needs better work at first base, maybe someone a little taller who could hit a home run.
I do,
I mean, I'm all for it. If you want to finally pull the plug on certain players that are just eating up roster spots, it seems like, right? I mean, how much longer are we going to pretend like Gavin Sheets is doing well and Andrew Vaughn's okay? I mean, move on if you have to. And here's a guy that you could get relatively inexpensively, and maybe he could hit a home run. It'd be fun to see someone hit a home run. I think the Sox should be looking at guys like that. Eli Morgan, I was reading some of his statistics were just unbelievable last year, and the feeling is that they may get worse. But even if they get worse, they're still going to be pretty good in the Cubs' bullpen. So I thought it was a pretty good trade. They traded a pitcher who is, he's a guy that's was in their top, 25th or 26th or something. He's down the list. They just have other guys ahead of them. And they've got a lot of block players. So if you get a chance to make a move and get something that can help you, you do so. And, it's a guy that had success last year. It's good. It's definitely good. They also brought in a catcher, but that was just for money. I don't know if he's any good. But Eli Morgan, pretty good player.
On paper, I really like this Eli Morgan move, but I have to wonder why. Not why did the Cubs get him, but why are the Guardians willing to let this guy go? I mean, the Cubs bullpen stunk out loud last year. There was that one little blip where on paper, like their numbers got better, but they weren't really any better. It was smoke and mirrors. So that was when the numbers didn't exactly jive with what was actually happening out on the field. But like, let's see, because you can only go up. That the bullpen was an absolute anchor in a bad way for the Cubs last season. David, I was curious with you, Patrick Wisdom or David Bote? Better story.
David Bote by a mile.
Okay, that's exactly what I expected.
David Bote by a mile. Look, with due respect to Patrick Wisdom, he averaged 25 home runs from 2021 to 2023. But this notion that the Cubs are going to miss him is misguided. And the fact that he could help any team next year as a starting first baseman is, to me, ridiculous. He hit 171.
Yeah, I didn't say the Cubs were going to miss him, and I didn't say he could play for anyone. I said the worst team in baseball could use help at first base.
8 home runs in 75 games. Patrick Wisdom, he was not Craig Counsell's guy. And I wasn't surprised he would be released. I think that he might end up as a bench player somewhere else, or DH somewhere else, possibly. But he, forever, whatever reason, fell out of favor. He's 32. Good story. Bodie, did you think Bodie is not a better story, Dustin?
No, I just know that you.
Well, you
like him a lot. So I was just curious. He was a fan favorite
longer than Bodie.
Definitely. But I think he was more highly regarded coming in. Like he was a Cardinal first. He was a high draft pick.
Wasn't he a Dodger with the draft?
Cardinal? Yeah, it came Cardinals and Rangers and Cubs. And he landed with the Cubs. For 3 years, 25 homers a year, that's no small thing.
Good.
He had a good spurt. Eli Morgan, Dustin, I think he reminds me of this move almost like the Hector Neris move last year. You hope that you...
Ooh, you hope, geez, I'm just saying, hey, boy, no, Mr. Man. Glass half empty over here.
Hold on a second. But a year, when you got Neris, you thought it was going to be good, right? I think this feels like it's going to be good.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
What did you think of the way the Bulls played in Milwaukee, and how should we interpret Patrick Williams missing the game to get imaging done on a foot, the same one he had surgery on last season?
Billy Donovan offered that they're not going to know more for about a week. And then what? This guy's got a contract. It's the same foot that he had surgery on. Now you've got an issue that in a roster that's not fully equipped to handle his absence. Who guards anybody? We saw what happened last night. Giannis, what are you, 41? You become much less athletic. Not going to overstate Patrick Williams' growth or progress, but he did give you a guy that could play some D. Now he is on the shelf indefinitely, it sounds like. Not a good development. And was I the only one surprised? Should I have been surprised? I was surprised.
So if Patrick Williams plays last night north of the Cheddar Curtain, Antetokounmpo scores 39, and they only have 18 free throws in the second half. I didn't say you. Big whip. Okay, he has not missed one bit. Patrick, I mean, how in the world he got paid is beyond. Well, he's only 19. Well, he's only 23. Let's give him another contract. He's only 27. I mean, how many more? I mean, come on, that guy stinks. He's awful, and ooh is not an offensive move.
You
were waiting for it. I did it on purpose. Ooh is not an offensive move. Go to the basket. How about a rebound?
There's some poor little girl who was coached by Dustin once raised a hand and called for the ball. And we get this.
Just with Patrick Williams.
Just with Patrick Williams.
Every time.
We can't have a serious conversation about Patrick Williams or about.
Is it even worth having a serious conversation about
Zach LaVine?
Him?
Yeah, they need him, Dustin. They need all hands on deck. And he's their best defensive player, and he's one of the few guys that can deal with larger players. And, you know, the problem with Giannis is if you're not taking him the entire floor, he's going to come down and he's going to run at you, and there's literally nothing you can do other than flop down on the floor while he dunks over you. So you need him. And I just feel like this one snuck up on me.
Yes.
Because there was a rumor. I know about the rumor because KC looked into it and said, no, he's okay. And now he's missing at least three games. They've announced he's out basically for a week and he's not going to play in three games. And that's not good for a guy who just surgically repaired that foot. I don't like it at all.
You got enough guys on pitch counts.
Exactly. Exactly right. But the ooh thing, I mean, honestly, has he ever called for a pass? He's not even that aggressive on offense that he would stand in a corner and say, ooh.
And frankly, we're not talking about what they're missing offensively if he is out indefinitely.
No, we're talking about
defensively. He is probably their most versatile defender.
It's like a guy doing a terrible impersonation. You know, well, I'm Bobby Kennedy and I'm talking like this. He doesn't talk like that. That's not a good impersonation.
That's actually not speaking. It's groaning.
He doesn't groan.
No.
He's not.
He doesn't stand in the corner and call for the ball. You coach some girl who did that. You got your mind warped with this.
Why does Dustin hate the Bulls?
He hates the Bulls.
Max LaVine and the Patrick Williams imitation underscores.
Would you like my thoughts on Josh Giddey?
And he goes around saying that LeBron's a lot better than Mike. I mean, he hates him.
I can't believe it.
Now that is not true.
I mean, that Cavs hoodie's a bit much today.
No shot. I'm wearing red and black. I am wearing a beautiful flag and anthem red and black flannel shirt supporting my Chicago Bulls.
And I'm wearing a blue.
Honolulu blue.
I'm wearing a flag and anthem.
Dan Campbell over there.
And this, that's what I'm greeted with. Well, what is it today? The Lions or the Chargers?
I'm ready for winter in my flag and anthem. Three-quarter zip sweater. Merino sweater.
We're all covered. All right, we've got the extra point next. And this one, this is not going over well. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 the Score.
With Notre Dame coach Marcus Freeman being mentioned by the NFL Network's Tom Pelissero as a coach who could get interviews, how would you feel about the Bears' pursuit of him if, of course, that job became available?
Well, I was surprised to see Marcus Freeman's name on this list. Maybe I shouldn't have been. Marcus Freeman has done a really good job this year navigating Notre Dame through a season where the schedule has been soft, but they did recover well from the biggest loss of the year. Biggest loss in several years. Northern Illinois has no business beating Notre Dame in South Bend. And that could have ruined their season. It didn't. You give them credit for that. I give them credit for keeping things on course in South Bend. Tough place to do that if you're the head football coach at Notre Dame. Tough job. Great job, tough job. If I were Marcus Freeman, I would turn down every NFL inquiry, if there are any, after the season. Whether it's the Chicago Bears, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Jacksonville Jaguars, whoever the case is, whoever the team may be. The Dallas Cowboys, don't care. If you are Marcus Freeman, 38 years old, and you are coming into your own, developing your own identity, reputation, legacy, if you will, because Notre Dame is a legacy job, then you continue down that path. You make history, not news. You stay at a place that has been very good to you through some shaky times. Tough start. Don't lose to Marshall. You don't lose to NIU. You don't do these things at home. He overcame that. He's becoming a pretty good head coach. He's prepared. He's focused. He's definitely telegenic, and he's motivational, and he's charismatic. All the things that would make you want to hire him, keep him in South Bend. I would not want to pursue this if I'm the Bears. I want better, more experience than that, and I would not want to pursue this path if I'm Marcus Freeman, and his representation may get a raise out of the deal, but I wouldn't want to do that.
I agree with everything you just said, but if Marcus Freeman can get a bump and an extension out of this, then good for Marcus Freeman and his family. Now, David, every single thing you said, I agree with 100%. Now, I do believe, we talked about it yesterday a little bit, I think the Bears need a leader of men. I think he can lead young men. I think he can lead men. I think he relates. I think we're seeing that more and more in sports, where the professional athlete, the college athlete, is more likely to respond to guys that have done what they are hoping to do. So that would be, I mean, he checks a lot of boxes. He checks a ton of boxes. But again, first thing, who's your offensive coordinator? Right? Like who is your guy? But no, I don't want him. A guy that lost to Northern Illinois at home, I don't want him anywhere near my Bears. But if he gets paid extra for it, congratulations.
Yeah. This is one of the sillier questions we've ever contemplated. This guy barely belongs at Notre Dame. Barely belongs at Notre Dame. This guy had better beat Army. You better figure out a way to close this out, because to lost Notre Dame, if they lose to Northern Illinois and Army, isn't getting anywhere near the final 12 teams, the 12-team playoff. And even if you beat Army, you better make sure you handle USC, because to lost Notre Dame, if they lose to Northern Illinois and USC, they're not getting anywhere near the playoff. And if they get in the playoff, even if they're one loss Notre Dame, if they get in the playoff, how are they going to beat Alabama? How are they going to win at Tennessee or whatever the various games have been? I am not on board with believing that Marcus Freeman is a legitimate candidate for an NFL job, let alone a Bears job where you got to work with the quarterback and figure out a way to bring him along. I mean, this question is one of the odder ones we've ever contemplated. The guy is lucky if the Northern Illinois game doesn't follow him after this season.
Is it odd?
Three loss a year, Marcus Freeman does not belong at Notre Dame, let alone in the National Football
League.
The
head coach at one of the more famous college football programs in America is on a list from a NFL Network respected journalist, and you're operating in a market in a city that has a potential head coach opening, and you don't see that as a source of speculation.
This is not a chance. No speculation. No, none wanted. None welcome. This is a really absurd idea.
And this Notre Dame loss season that you speak of is closer to competing for a national championship than it is of getting off the rails.
List their best wins to me, will ya? Not that I care.
Do you know that doesn't matter?
I know it doesn't matter. But it matters if I'm hiring a guy to take over a program.
But
he's a three-loss coach. He's lost three games a year, and now he's finally got a really easy schedule. It matters, David.
Okay, but The point being, if he finishes this job, he will be on some people's short list. That's just the way it works.
If he wins the national championship.
And if he gets him in the playoff.
If he gets him in the playoff. They're in the playoff.
No,
all they
not.
Have to do, all they got to do now is not lose to Army and not lose to USC. If they don't get in the playoff, then he's done a terrible job, and he should be. He could be on his way out. He could, if they're not in the playoff at this point, he needs to lose that job, or they're
there
not. Gonna,
there will be people be that agree with you if they miss the playoff. So, it does not appear that they will miss the playoff.
Well, let's let it unfold. It didn't. You didn't think they were going to lose at home to Northern Illinois.
You have seen enough you have seen enough unqualified coaches be interviewed for jobs they didn't necessarily deserve to understand why this will be a thing if they continue to win.
Let me tell you something. He is one of the unqualified coaches that could get a job if they do something. Like I said, I mean, if this all happens, if you get to a point.
Brian Kelly interviewed for the Tampa job, the Eagles job, the Lions job.
Brian Kelly is an offensive guy who is considered to be an innovator with offensive football. This is a defensive guy who is
leader of men.
Loses three games.
He's a leader of men.
Well,
he's considered a leader of men.
You consider him that. I don't know.
I'm not telling you what I consider.
I got brothers who are Notre Dame alums.
The reputation for Marcus Freeman is that the charisma and the leadership are his strengths. The offensive stuff, okay.
The reputation is one loss. You're one loss away from losing that gig. Two losses this year for Notre Dame, you lose that job. Honestly, if they lose to Army, and I'm not saying they're gonna, I'm just saying if they did 18 Army, they're in trouble. If they lose at USC at the end of the year, that would not go over at all.
I hear you.
Anyway,
but as we sit here this morning, they have one loss.
I wouldn't want them anywhere near the Bears.
They're the sixth ranked team in the country.
I wouldn't want them even in the same zip code.
Asked and answered.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio. We're going to get to your phone calls. 312-644-6767. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
How are you keeping tabs on just the vibe and the connection in the room when they've hit this adversity now?
Just being real. Just relying on the relationships, talking to guys, looking them eye to eye and having real conversations. Not walking past that. I think that's important. And I think that's whenever you have adversity in your home, in your church, in your football team, that's what you have to do. Have real conversations, be truthful, look people in the eye and tell them the truth and tell them how you feel and also listen. And then when you listen really good, you can get a good feel for where everybody is.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Life advice.
It was life advice. Kind of stood out to me that he mentioned church. That he mentioned problems at his church. That you don't hear an NFL coach invoke his church in that way often. Going through tough times like that. Did that strike you as...
No, I didn't pay close. I mean, honestly, when he started talking about...
drifted?
He was like the third time round about honesty and look him in the eye. Like, you said that already. I kind of lost. I think, can we listen to it again?
Yeah, sure.
And I'll concentrate more on it. I apologize. I just thought he was saying the same thing over and over again.
I don't think so.
Can we hear that again, Brandon? Thank you, buddy.
Okay.
He didn't. I think Brandon and Dustin are talking to each other too. Everyone drifted on that one.
How are you keeping tabs on just the vibe and the connection in the room when they've hit this adversity now?
Just being real, just relying on the relationships, talking to guys, looking them eye to eye and having real conversations, not walking past that. I think that's important. And I think that's whenever you have adversity in your home, in your church, in your football team, that's what you have to do. Have real conversations, be truthful, look people in the eye and tell them the truth and tell them how you feel and also listen. And then when you listen really good, you can get a good feel for where everybody is.
I don't know how you have adversity in your church.
Well, I think he's...
Does he mean like
Well, I think he's probably using his church as a reference. So that's how you get through it.
Oh, I got it.
He's a religious guy, I think, more than he probably lets on.
Really?
I think so.
What religion is he? Do you know?
Not quite sure. I wonder what audience he's speaking to. You know, he works for the McCaskies, who are well known to be churchgoers.
Yes.
Famous church-going family. Yes. But you don't hear NFL coaches invoke their church that much. Would you agree with that?
You know, I always think, like, there's an element of preaching involved in coaching, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that they talk about their church, but I think that there's connections. Like, you know, believe it or not, like, having been to various places around, like, the U.S. military, there are, like, it's like one of the last bastions of the really strong nuclear family, and there's a lot of church stuff connected to that, too, that surprised me when I first started to see that when my brother was working for the Defense Department. I think that you see a lot of that, though. Like, you see in football, you see a lot of family, bring the kids to work, the kids become part of your life through your job, which you're spending all your time at, and your church kind of follows with that too. So, like, they'll have a mass or something,
yeah,
you know, at the facility.
It just was interesting.
Yeah, all. I guess you're right. I hadn't thought it through. We'll ask Biggsy about it. We got Brad Biggs next. We'll get to him. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Real talk.